The more you trust God with your resources, the safer they will be. The more you trust God with your resources, the safer you will be, and I will be. There is a lot of fear. There's a lot of tension in the world. Excuse me, I'm taking a drink of water here. And a lot of turmoil, a lot of unknown about what's going on. I am usually not one to pay attention to prices. You can ask my wife. She will go. I'll go to the store. I'll buy something. I'll come back and she'll say, "How much was it?" I'll say, "I have no idea." When someone says a dollar amount, it goes in one ear and out the other. And to me, I've mentioned that before. I'm not lying. Money to me is like water. You need it to survive. But that's about it. But lately, I have noticed some prices. Even I've noticed gas prices. Usually I don't pay much attention to that either, but when it says $5 a gallon, that gets my attention. And I think there's something wrong with it. No, this is 10 gallons, but I'm already at, you know, $40 or whatever it is, $50. This just strikes me. And so there's a lot out there. So I want to kind of just share some truths about this. We don't know the future, and I'm not about trying to stir people up and get you to, you know, be on the edge of your seat about what's going to happen in the world. But I do want to be a help to us from the Word of God. And how do we deal with this? We may be approaching a time in our country, and it could all change. But we may be approaching a time when all of a sudden resources are much more limited than they were before. So how do we deal with that? I want to be very relevant tonight in that regard. God had just provided for Elijah in a time of famine. And in the previous verses that we read at the beginning, the first seven verses speak of God sending him to this brook. A brook is about the smallest stream of water that maybe you can that you can imagine. You have rivers, of course. You have creeks. And a brook might even be a little bit smaller than that. And God provided for him by ravens, by birds bringing him food. And then the brook was drying up. This was a time of famine. It was a time when inflation was soaring and maybe higher than the birds that were bringing him the food. And the stock market was crashing. And this would have been literal. I mean, the livestock was literally crashing and dying. And it was a lot similar to what we're living in today. And the national leader was an ungodly man being puppeted by an ungodly woman. That was Ahab and Jezebel. I'm not talking about today, okay? But you can draw some comparisons. And so God sends, after that all happens, God sends Elijah to a widow woman. And in the beginning, even when God told him, "You're going to go to the brook and I'm going to supply for you," he didn't exactly tell him, I'm going to do that by sending birds that are going to bring you food every day. Sometimes when we don't know how God's going to do something, it's probably just better that way. Because if we knew, I was talking to Mrs. Schmidt, who was traveling with the ladies today. We were just briefly talking about Bible college. I worked my way through Bible college. Bible college, to me, when I go back, sometimes it gives me a little bit of anxiety because not every day was easy. And she said she did the same thing. She worked through Bible college and it was difficult. I told her the Lord changed my life in those years in many ways, but I would never want to do it again. I have no desire to go through all that again. And I think that's how God works. Sometimes when we go through something, if he had told us how it was all going to happen, we wouldn't really want to do it. God didn't tell Elijah, "I'm going to provide for you by sending a bunch of ravens and they're going to bring you food." Well, but then when the brook dries up, he tells him, in verse number 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Here he does tell him, there's a widow there. Well, Lord, is a widow really the best possible option to be able to sustain me? How's that going to work out? But this time God tells him, God does increase our faith. He does do that. And your faith grows. I say that a faith that goes is a faith that grows. We can learn all that we want. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they made a really good comment. I said, "I love faith." I said, "You know, it's kind of like a roller coaster. You get in, you strap in, and you're terrified the first time you're going to go on one. And but then when you get through it, you say, wow, I want to do that again. Some of us. And the individual I was talking to, I won't say it, but I said, you like roller coasters, don't you? And he said, no, I don't. I said, oh, I love it. I said, and I love faith. I said, I love the aspect of faith. And then the individual said, I like reading about faith. And I said, I understand that. But we can learn all that we want, but a faith that goes is a faith that grows. And until you take that first step, then we do not grow and we do not get stretched and we do not get provided for and see God work. As George Mueller said, he said, at first I could trust God for $10, $100. But he said, and at the time when he spoke after his long years of ministry, he said, today, if there was a need for it and I had a scriptural promise and the Holy Spirit's confirmation, I could trust God for $10 million if I had to. So his faith grew. So Elijah's faith also was probably in the process of growing, even though he was a prophet. And so there's an unusual source of provision in a widow woman. God chooses the weak things and the base things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. He uses the things that are despised, things that you and I look at and look down on. God says, who are you looking down on? Where are they at? Is this all the kids that you have right here? Nah, there's one that we despise. There's one that we keep out with the sheep. He's the smallest. He's the youngest. He's a ruddy little guy. Well, that's the one I'm actually looking for. And when God looks in a church or God looks in a group of people and we all look down or despise, well, they can't do much or they have this background or they don't this or they don't that. God says, yeah, okay, you all move aside because actually that's the one that I have chosen. God said about Eliab, the one who was tall, and Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said, I have rejected him. I have refused him. That's what God said. So God uses the things that are despised. And generally it's the poor that God can get glory through in financial situations. It's when there's only 300 troops. It's a lad who can beat a giant. And it's a few lepers that can help save a starving city. God loves doing that. So what does Elijah do? He does the same thing that anyone does who wants to be used of God. He just obeys. Verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Right, that's one sentence right there with a period at the end of it. I don't find him asking questions. Lord, did you say a widow woman? Run that by me again. I don't see him murmuring or complaining. Well, God, this brook dry. You were providing through this brook. Have you ever lost a job that God was using to provide? Who was it that was providing in the first place? Was it that employer or was it God? If it's God, don't worry about when the brook dries up. He'll find you another source. And so he doesn't ask questions. He doesn't make complaints. And in verse number 10, he arose, went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. She is gathering sticks. This is her last meal. I have seen people who have gone without food or without proper nourishment, and they don't look very healthy. If this is this woman's last meal, you better believe she had been scrimping and trying to make things last, and I guarantee you she looked like she was starving, just like everybody else. So if Elijah's coming and he's expecting to find someone who is just, you know, well-kept and just looks fat and healthy, then he sees her, he's going to be surprised. So here he sees this skin and bones lady gathering a couple sticks and thinks, that's the one, isn't it? It just would be, because that's how God works. And he sees her in verse 10, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, he asks for a little water. What did God tell Elijah was going to happen with this widow woman? Back in verse number 9, at the end of that verse, he says, I've commanded a widow woman there to what? Sustain thee. He said, I've told this widow woman, I have commanded. And that is interesting. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God is working in the heart of Elijah the prophet to go to this widow woman. And he says, what? I have commanded. there's already something going on with her that she knows that she's supposed to do something. God's already commanded her. You find that oftentimes. I enjoy when God does that, when He's working in the hearts of different people at the same time and they don't even know each other yet or don't know what God is doing, and then God brings that all together. God does that. It's a miracle. And some of you know that well even tonight. And God says, I've commanded her to sustain thee. But He comes to this widow woman and sees her, and He says, I'm just going to ask her for a glass of water. That's all. She doesn't look like she's going to be able to provide me very much. So He starts off asking her for a glass of water. I wonder if He's testing the waters. Has God ever put something on your heart that seemed a little bit scary? So you didn't dive all the way in? He told you to do something and you say, I'm going to dip a toe in the water real quick. God's done that to me. I want you to witness to that person. And I look at that person and they do not look like a person that one would want to witness to. And I say, are you sure about this? And so you might maybe make a comment about the Bible or about God or God bless. And then all of a sudden the doors open up a little more and you get confirmation. Yeah, you keep going. That's what God's doing here. So He just asks her for a drink of water. And look at verse number 11. And as she was going to fetch it, He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So all of a sudden His faith was a little stronger now. She's on her way and I know I'm supposed to ask for food from her. She's on her way and He says, oh, excuse me, wait. In addition to the water, could I have a little bit of food? His courage increases and he has more peace for what he's about to request. Verse 12, she tells him this is the last meal. We just have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. A little barrel with some meal and a little cruse, a little container of oil. That's why the message is cruise control. How to control that. Verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, and this is where it all comes down. He's asked her, he's done his part. She's kind of told him what she has. Now he's got to take this step. In verse number 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. That's the ticket. Her faith, his faith has got to tell her to do this. Her faith has got to go ahead and go through with that. Make me a little cake first. And bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. That's where the test is. The more you trust God with your resources, the safer they will be. The more you trust God with your resources, the safer you will be. So how do you do that? How do you trust God? We can all say that, and oftentimes we do. We are so good as Christians who know the Word. We're so good at saying, well, I trust God. I trust Him with my finances. You've got to look at the proof that comes in the pudding. How does it really actually look in practicality? There's folks who say, well, I put God first and I all these things. But do they really? Look at your calendar. Look at your checkbook. Look at your wallet. Where are these things going? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do we really trust God? How do we do that? I'm just going to give you a few thoughts here. Number one, make God the priority. Make God the priority. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. You do not get the option to go ahead and take care of all of yourself and then say, after that, I'm sure God will allow me to have enough left over that I can give to Him. Put God first. God first, me last. I cannot stress enough Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And many of you, you could share testimonies that have trusted God with your finances and have seen how God has provided. I have been young and now I'm old. I'm looking forward to getting old. I'm serious. I'm not looking forward to a lot of things that come with that, but I am looking forward to getting old, because then I can say that verse and say it like David said it. I have been young and now I'm old. And by the way, you who are old, you have been young. All right. We all got to be young at one time. And I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I've never seen a righteous person, someone who's willing to put God first. I've never seen him going around begging. I have never seen a person who is putting God first going around asking for, we need some food. He says, I've not seen that, because God will take care of them. George Mueller would make it a point. He said, we will not tell anybody about our needs. Hudson Taylor did the same thing. There was a individual who called and said, I need to know what you need and what your needs are, to Hudson Taylor, who reached out to him, and he said, we don't tell what our needs are. God just knows our needs and he provides. And the individual was kind of upset. He said, well, no, I really need to know, because how can we know how to help? He said, you just give whatever the Lord lays on your heart. They sent the money. It was the exact amount that was needed at the end of that month. God does that. And Hudson Taylor was adamant about that. We think, well, no, I've got to go do all kinds of the legwork. And look, if God puts it on your heart to go and do some things, and then you go do that. But we don't have to broadcast needs that we have. I will not judge ministries that kind of write and say, hey, here's the big need that we have. If you want to give money to that, then go ahead and give money and send letters out all over the place. If the Lord leads them to do that, that's fine. As the Lord gives me the grace, I will never do that. I will tell the Lord what I need. He'll already know it before I ever ask him, and he'll put it on the hearts of his people to provide. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Brother Schmidt this morning, who our preacher, he mentioned another preacher that I know, and he said this man has taken a step of faith where he's literally living by faith day to day financially because of some things that he decided to do. And he said that this individual didn't have money for a haircut. Haircuts are expensive these days. That's why I cut my own. And he said he didn't have money for a haircut. He was in a meeting, and somebody gave him, as I recall, somebody shook his hand and put a $20 bill in there. He said, well, Lord, that'll take care of the haircut. The next night, he didn't get a chance to get a haircut. The next day, he was in another meeting, and the Lord said, put that $20 in the offering plate. And he said, that's my haircut money. He said, put it in the offering. He put it in the offering plate. And then the next day, somebody gave him another $20, and God said, that's your haircut money. Just wanted to make sure you were still listening. That's what God does. And so we put God first. You will never go wrong putting God first. In fact, you will go all wrong if you don't put God first. Put Him first. Make Him the priority. Elijah said, you're going to have to make mine first. We think Elijah, sometimes, well, he's had to be selfish. No, he's having a lot of faith. That took faith for that man to say that. We think that the preacher that tells us, listen, if you have financial trouble, my friend, let me tell you what I would advise you to do. Start tithing. Give God what is due to Him. You say, how dare the preacher tell us that? Elijah's just trying to get that little cake for himself. And if you think that way, you don't understand. You do not understand. Elijah did this in faith. Because he knew God. He knew God. I was talking to Eric Torres, and a situation. He was praying about a certain amount. I'm trying to think of what all to share here, but he was praying about a certain amount. He needed a certain amount to do something that the Lord laid on his heart to do. A certain amount of money. He said, "Yeah, but it's a little much." And he told the Lord, "If you want me to do it, you'll provide the income." And he said, but in reality, I kind of thought, well, the Lord, I mean, how am I going to get extra income? I'm working these days, and I do the internship on these other days. Well, all of a sudden, an opportunity came up where there was extra income that came up. And it was enough to meet the need, plus give him extra. And I said, that is what God does. He will not only meet the need, but He always puts a little extra in there. And so that's, you put God first and you won't go wrong. Number one, make God the priority. Number two, stand on the promise. Stand on the promise. Look at verse 14. He didn't just say, you know, go and do this. He said, verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God." Do not take the preacher's word for it. Do not take this person's word or that person's word. You find Scripture that says what you ought to do, and you stand on that and you say, "Lord, you told me that if I do this, that you would take care of me. And so I am offering my resources." What are your resources? It's not just money. We're not just talking about money tonight. The Lord laid this on my heart because I've said before, money to me is not much, but time is everything. Time is precious. It's running through our fingers right now. Time is life. You are giving your life literally right now, and I'll try to make sure you don't give over what you're supposed to. But our resources, time, money, people, talent. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, I don't have enough. And God told me the other day, He said, "John, you have a little cruse of oil, and I'm going to make sure that you have enough, but you have a cruse of oil. You've got a cruse of oil of time. I don't have enough time. You've got a cruse of oil every day." And so, stand on the promise. Find a promise. And then in verse 16, when the barrel of meal wasted not, at the end of the verse it says, according to what? Not the word of Elijah. According to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. Base it on God's word. Go find a promise in God's word and claim that. Don't ever base something on the circumstances. Well, once our circumstances change, please, friend, I care enough about you to tell you to put God first in your finances. Put Him first with your time. Put Him first with your family. Well, we used to know people when we were growing up, and all of a sudden they'd start missing church. Well, we've got to study extra. I've got a little bit of extra homework tonight. We're going to keep the kids home. I've got to get this done, and we've got this special project. And you start doing that, and you start putting those above God, and you start taking circumstances and elevating those above what the Lord wants, and all of a sudden we begin to fail. God will always make sure that you're provided for. "Lord, I don't have enough time to go to church and also to get this done, but I'm going to give you my cruse of oil. And I'm going to trust that you're going to help me get the other things done." So stand on the promises of God's word. Let's go real quick. Keep your place here. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. I've mentioned this passage to a few people, and I didn't know where it was, and I finally found it. And I love it because we're going to need this in the next however many months. Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse number 1. "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart, upon the horns of your altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, in thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever." So God's saying, look, I'm going to give your substance to your enemies. I'm going to take your treasure and make it a spoil for other people. I'm going to cause you to be a servant. I'm going to take the heritage, what was supposed to be yours, and give it away. All they say, I'm taking your resources and I'm going to waste it away. Verse number 5, why? "Thus saith the Lord," here's why, "cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places and wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited." If you go through times of poverty and affliction, that does not mean that it's because you haven't honored God. God may put you through some tests. But there is a promise to those who do not honor God. Look, I will waste away your substance. Especially those that know God. Especially those that know the Word of God. So what's the opposite of this? Look at this verse. It's wonderful. Verse number 7. Blessed. In verse number 5, he said, "Cursed is the man that trusts man and not God." Verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." The person who says, "I'm casting all my care upon God. That doesn't just mean give Him all of my worry and let that, but then keep some reserve. No, I'm casting myself upon the mercy of the Lord to sustain me. And He says, when you do that, you are blessed. When your hope is in God. Look at verse number 8. Here's the verse. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. You say, we know that verse. It's just like Psalm chapter 1. No, keep reading. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding her fruit. God says when the drought comes, when inflation goes up, when the stock market goes down, and when everything in between is chaos, He says when that happens, the person whose hope is in God is going to be like a well-watered tree. And he shall not be careful. That means when you go to the gas pump, you put the pump in there and you will pump gas. And everybody else will be, oh, I'm going to just kind of squirt a little bit in there. I don't. And the Bible says you're not going to be worried. And it doesn't mean he's just going to be having all kinds of riches and treasures, but he's just not going to. I am not worried about what's going to take place in the next year or two. Whatever happens, if the stock market crashes, if all these things, I am not worried. God will provide. I have put myself in the hands of Jesus, and I am in no safer place. And I'm not going to be careful. I'm not going to be worried about all these things and caught up. And what a blessed promise when you trust God. Make God the priority, number one. Number two, stand on the promise. Number three, trust God in perpetuity. That's a word that just means in continuation, day after day. Back in 1 Kings chapter number 17, trust God in perpetuity. In verse 15 says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Many days. She had to get up and do all this over again the next day. Well, we went through that whole cruise of oil and barrel of meal thing yesterday, and it worked out. And well, here we are again. And here's a little bit. I had hoped God would fill that up a little bit more, but that didn't happen. I was hoping He'd maybe duplicate the barrel today, but that didn't happen. She had to do it the next day. And she had to do it the day after that. And she had to do it the best. You've talked to folks who talk about diet plans and or maybe exercise regimens. And the best thing they say, look, don't just do a program. Make it a lifestyle. The things that stick are when you can say, this is just going to be my way of life. And then it sticks, and it's the same for faith. There's no, well, I'm going to get on the faith program for a couple weeks, and no, I'm going to step on this train, and I'm not getting off. Wherever it takes me, I'm going in perpetuity. It's going to be a day after day thing, and every day I may just have a little cruise of oil, but I've got a cruise of oil, and I've got the Lord, and that's all I need. Trust God in perpetuity. Make it a way of life, a lasting change. And number four, be okay with the portion. Be okay with the portion. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. That is not really an abundant type of miracle. It doesn't say a barrel of meal just duplicated. And all of a sudden, one day she was up to 100 barrels, and that cruise it was gushing oil out. And they were having to get. There's another miracle where the lady had to fill up all these different barrels with oil. That didn't happen here. The only promise was that it just didn't waste and it didn't run out. And we have to be okay with that. Would she have felt safer if there was a little bit more oil, or a lot more oil? I think so. Because we would. But would she have been any safer? Doesn't matter. It didn't matter if there was a few ounces in there, or a few gallons. Does that matter to God? No, the thing was, it was going to provide no matter how many people she had to feed in the household that day. And I'm sure the first day she got it down and she probably just used a little bit. I wonder if the next day she did the same thing and the day after that. But I wonder if she started getting a little bit bold. And I wonder if she got a little bit more courage. As she saw, this thing is not going to run out. And the neighbor next door was looking a little bit skinny, bony. She said, why don't you come over to our house for dinner? Well, you have extra food? No, but I can feed you. And the servants were able to eat the household. And I think she started making nice, bigger meals and she started pouring more out. And that's what you do when you trust God, when you put Him first. All of a sudden, the liberal soul shall be made fat and you know it's coming back. But you've got to be okay with that portion. The writer of Proverbs, he said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. I don't want to be full. I'm not asking for that. I don't want to starve, but just give me just enough. You've got to be okay with the portion. Well, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live when there's just a little bit in there. Well, then you're never going to be able to trust God. Well, I don't want Him to whittle me down to that where I'm totally in total dependence. Well, then we're never going to be able to see the miracles of God. If we're going to, we've got to be okay with that. Don't stop tithing. Don't stop putting God first. Don't stop giving Him your time. And the Lord has been teaching me and is still continuing to, even my time, Lord, it's just a cruise of oil. I want more time. I want to be able to get to this place where it says, I've got sermons prepared 5 months ahead of time and I've got all kinds of hours in the day to get all this stuff done. And God says, you're never going to be there. You are going to have a little cruise of oil. You're always going to have just enough time. It's amazing. It is amazing when I am prepared ahead of time, something always comes up. I never get prepared and close my Bible and push back from the study and then say, well, now I can catch up on all the extra stuff. Nope, that will always be the time when the phone rings or someone will walk in and it's someone who needs something. And I am privileged and honored to be able to be used of the Lord. God said, that's why you had that little bit extra. It wasn't extra. It was what was needed that day. And I am learning. I'm going to be okay with that. I'm going to be okay with the portion. And if that's where God has me, then that's where He has me. My friend, we had to learn how to be on cruise control. How to just let God take that thing. And we push back and we say, Lord, this is all Yours. It's in Your hand. I'm going to put You first. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I am going to learn to operate in perpetuity. And I'm going to be okay with the portion of you. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed?